Man in the Mirror is all about serving pastors, training leaders, and transforming men. And by that, really, really take it seriously when we go in and try to partner with a pastor and what he is trying to do with his men in the church. So we are trying to serve him, but we're also trying to give him the tools that help him to disciple his men. Early on in my life as a believer, I did not come to Christ in church. I came to Christ because there were guys on my dorm floor who weren't smoking or doing drugs or getting drunk. They were actually living out their faith, and that was attractive to me. So when I say that we're serving pastors, we want to be what they want and reaching the men to bring them into an environment where they can understand and learn and work with guys one-on-one, small groups, to let the Holy Spirit help them to engage in life discipleship. Help them to grow up, to see Christ, and then grow. Training leaders.
One of the things you may or may not know about Man in the Mirror is really the two key aspects of what we do. First of all, training leaders. The second of which is helping those leaders train the men in their churches. So we're going to dig more today into the second piece with a little bit of emphasis on how the first piece leads into the second piece.
And we're all about transforming men. We're not about transforming behavior. There have been churches and denominations that have been emphasis on transforming behavior. That just doesn't work. It didn't work with my dad with me. It didn't work with me with my kids. But when you turn the heart and head toward God, then the behavior changes as a result. But if you just work on the surface, behavior doesn't work. One of the things that, and I like to start here because you know this, but I like to be reminded of it. The Great Commission is what we're all about. Matthew 28 says, go therefore and make disciples. And it's really essential that when we look at go therefore and make disciples, we need to see what the therefore is there for. And the therefore is therefore because all authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. But it's also at the very last chapter of the book of Matthew. And it goes back to the genealogy. I could actually go back to the creation because the genealogy goes back to creation. Because of the genealogy, though, let me start there. Because of who Jesus was, because he came out of the lineage of David, which goes back to Adam, and God was trying to reestablish that relationship. Because of the virgin birth, because of the miracles, the baptism, the testing, the miracles, parables, healings, because of the death, because of the resurrection, because all authority has been given to me. The Greek says it so much better than go therefore. You know what it says? It says because you have been had this encounter with Jesus, you will be compelled to go and make disciples. You'll be compelled to go and share it. You'll be compelled to live your life in such a way that you're contagious and that your faith will become attractive to others. So as we do that, we are trying to create an environment that contagious, spirit-filled life will rub off on others. And then you have an opportunity to teach them and then baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, even in the plane on the way home, hi, I am with you, even to the end of the age. That was a joke, guys. Thank you. I appreciate that so much.
Mark, that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Often in the church, we get it backwards. We make workers, and we pray for disciples rather than make disciples and pray for workers. The harvest is white for harvest, therefore we need to pray for
more workers.
That's the way we think, but we are to make disciples. And as we make disciples, they will respond to the harvest field and they will reach out. Man in the Mirror has a passion for men to be discipled. I think you get that idea. And we address this system. Not behavior modification, but it's the heart transformation. It's not passive. It's a systematic and intentional way, and it's a process and a passion that solicits that action. I don't even have a preview, so I don't know what I'm going to say next.
Makes it kind of fun.
It does.
React on your feet.
Okay, so you know about Man in the Mirror. You know about No Man Left Behind. It's a process of how to build and sustain a thriving discipleship-making process for every man in your church. Man in the Mirror has been studying churches for 31 years, and they've noticed that all the churches that have thriving ministry to men have some certain things in common. Now, this is not a seminar about No Man Left Behind, but I can't really talk about, we can't talk about the journey to biblical manhood without talking about No Man Left Behind. So our quick review, this is the model of No Man Left Behind. It's a real hokey diagram. This is a church. It took me a long time to realize that that's a church and a conveyor belt in that church. And the conveyor belt is has a foundational principle. There are three foundational principles. Real quickly, portal priority is that everything in the church has to do about discipleship. That's the main call for the church. The church is, you know, chicken noodle dinners are great, but unless it has a discipleship model or an emphasis, why is it there?
Second is the man code. And when a man walks into a church for the first time, whether he's thinking about it or not, he's sizing it up and saying, what does this church feel like for me? Do I feel like this is a place I could be? Does he see men actively engaged in the church, or does he see the opposite? And so when he's there for that first, maybe second time, he's just sizing that up internally, not necessarily thinking about man code, but he's deciding, is this a place that I can, as Coach K would say, hitch my horses to? So subtle things like a man walking up and greeting him, shaking his hand, seeing a decor sometimes even that's not in overwhelmingly feminine, worship that's not overwhelmingly feminine. So the man code is those kind of things that speak internally to that man and say, hey, I feel comfortable here as a man.
What do you mean worship is not overly feminine?
We don't have to hold the man, the hand of the man next to us. You won't even do it, will you?
That's right, I won't.
And sometimes we ask people to do that.
I'd hold his hand. Hold his hand.
I like to say that my wife's interest in music is more to what I consider to be sappy sweet, and mine is just different. And so I think in large regard that's true with men and women. I think men tend to have a different interest in music versus women. So is there a blend that will meet both needs?
This is not a seminar on No Man Left Behind, but I've got to tell you about a breakfast I did go to. There are 25 guys there, brand new. There's about 150 guys, and the associate pastor asked me to go. He couldn't be there, but he asked me to go and take notes and then meet with him Tuesday and tell me what I saw. So at the tail end, and it was all, I won't tell you everything, but at the very tail end, it was all pastor-driven, pastor-preached. Tail end, he said, okay, guys, stand up and hold the hand of the guy next to you. Okay? He was going to pray. Now, 25 of these guys rode their Harleys in to the breakfast, and they were asked to hold hands. And then he said, amen. Now, before you let the hand of the guy next to you go, look at each man around the table in the eye, because these are the guys that are going to hold you accountable. And I thought to myself, no, they're not. They didn't even ask me my name when I came in. How are they going to hold me accountable? So the message we give is sometimes not real comfortable in the message received. So, man,
I could just add one more thing, Clark. The holding hands, one of the things Coach K, who spoke this morning about the using the four chairs and talking about the five types of men, what he emphasizes rather than that model is to get in a locker room environment where it's shoulder to shoulder, getting in a prayer huddle. Now, I don't know about you guys, but that's much preferred for me instead of getting in a circle and holding hands. That's just another revealing of the man code.
It is. So going on quickly, because I didn't want to camp out there, three strands of leadership. Were any of you in Ron Reed's seminar? Okay, so you know that the three strands are the pastor, men's leader, and then the leadership team around them, because the pastor can't do it all. So the second strand is that men's leader, the point person, but again, they're not doing it all. The leadership team doesn't even do it. They're the strategic thinkers about how to implement a plan and gain other guys in to help the process. The five guys, types of men we talked about this morning, those who are me-centered, those who are me and God. Here, God, here's my agenda. Please bless me, O God. And the next one is the biblical Christian who is.
You know, it's really that point and turning point in a man's life when he starts to seek the God who is instead of the God he wants. And so very often that's the time where a man becomes focused on what does it mean to become a disciple of Christ, and I want to do what it's going to take to become a disciple of Christ. Very often that man is the most likely to become engaged in whatever it is you have going on for men in your church because he wants to just soak things in like a sponge.
So, and then you have the leader who's very much God and others, and then of all those, they can be hurting at any one time. Now, how do you get somebody from the wide continuum? Oh, I've got a laser on here. The wide continuum to the deep continuum. I have a toy. And that is through that cog, the motor. And if the motor that drives that cog is the purpose of making disciples, there's a something that Man in the Mirror looked and said, all these churches have this in common. They have three things here. They have a create value event. They have a capture momentum phase. And then they have a sustain. Now, anytime you meet with somebody for coffee, that's a create value event. This is a create value event. If you go home and do absolutely nothing with what you've learned this weekend, we have failed. We hope that we have given you the next best step in capturing that momentum. So with churches that we work with, anytime they have an event, we're always saying, okay, how are you going to follow it up? What are you going to roll them into? You know, great event planning. You're going to have a wild beast feast. You're going to have whatever it is that you and your culture has. But how are you going to capture them? And what are you going to roll them into? And how are you going to engage them in a discipleship process? And then when you do that, how do you sustain it? So if you do that in a secular action, you help a man grow in his faith. So then there's this all-inclusive ministry to men mindset.
You know, a lot of times we ask a pastor as an early question when we're first getting to know a pastor is, how many men in your church? And he may say, for example, 100. Well, the next question is, how many men in your men's ministry? Very often the answer is, you know, a much lower number, a small percentage, 10% maybe. So he's saying 10 or 15 guys. What we propose is that if you have 100 men in your church, 100 men are in your ministry to men. The all-inclusive aspect simply means every interaction that a man has with the church is ministry to men. So it doesn't matter whether a man is serving on the praise band, serving in the children's ministry, you name it, that is all part of ministry to men. And that changes how you begin to think about how to disciple the men in your church.
So keep all that as background. And we'll move into, this is the model, the method, and the mindset. So we're really looking at a mindset change within the church. It's not just to do an activity, but it's to put that process of create, capture, sustain, that mindset into practice with everything that men do in reaching other men. When this has happened, the No Man Left Behind process, this process, it sees dramatic events or changes. If they don't put it into practice, they've just gone through the process, there's an 8% growth in the number of men, 22% of the number who men are discipled. But if this model, method model, and model method and mindset is into practice,
48% increase in the number of men attending church. By the way, this is from a survey that was a scientific survey of churches who actually implemented the No Man Left Behind model. So 48% increase in the number of men, 84% increase in the number of disciples in the church. That's okay. I've seen it a couple times, so I got it.
Okay. Well, good, good. Based on the lessons learned from working with thousands of churches over 31 years in the No Man Left Behind process, Man in the Mirror is pleased to introduce you to, if you have not been introduced to it before, The Journey to Biblical Manhood, or we'll call it JBM. It began to implement a strategic, all-inclusive ministry to men. The process is No Man Left Behind, combined with, it's almost a product or a program template, which is The Journey to Biblical Manhood. It's a turnkey type thing, but it's extremely flexible. And this is what it looks like. I'll show you the books. And you can take these, and these are not... I feel like a salesman doing this, but
well,
really...
Well, hey, let me just jump in and add one piece to the template piece. Has anybody here ever been to the Journey to Biblical Manhood website?
Yes.
One of the things you see about the way the website initially looks is it looks like a roadmap. And in fact, through No Man Left Behind, you basically learn as a ministry where you want to get. Journey to Biblical Manhood is the roadmap to get there. Because it's a newer offering we have, but without it, it was much more cumbersome for leaders to figure out. Not that it can't be figured out, but there's a lot more work involved in thinking it through. The map is here now, and that's what we're talking about today.
Thank you. That's very good. The Journey Biblical Manhood is not a specific curriculum or event, and that's very, very specific. You know, that's said very intentionally. It's not a curriculum. It's a template. The Journey to Biblical Manhood is a long-term framework to disciple every man in your church. And that phrase is a phrase that I haven't memorized yet because I keep getting tongue-tied, but it's extremely definitive of what the Journey to Biblical Manhood is, a long-term framework to disciple every man in your church.
The curriculum, if I could just throw in here, is a lot of times a question comes up pretty quickly to us is... reveals that the curriculum is what's being sought. This is not, but what's good about it is curriculum that you're familiar with or you find works particularly well with your men is what you can weave into this. And that's what's so great about the flexibility of it.
Let's talk more about that.
Coffee.
Again, it's a model, method, and a mindset. The Journey to Biblical Manhood, we're presenting to you a model, and it's a method. It's a flexible method because we may suggest doing this, and that's just a suggestion. You can do anything you want to. It really is a mindset of how do you translate your desires and events into a capturing guys and what to roll them into.
Clark, again, just on the mindset piece. What he showed you earlier, the wheel and the create, capture, sustain, I think the mindset can be best described by what will happen eventually is your church, your leadership team will begin to say, as somebody proposes an event or an activity, your question will be, why, and what's the next step? And that's create, capture, sustain. So that becomes a mindset where you just don't think of doing something without saying, why, what's the next step for our men?
That's really astute. You're in Maine, though, right?
I've been studying.
You're in Maine, though, right?
We don't get out much, so I got time to study.
So you meet with churches and you help churches ask those questions as an area director?
Yes, I do.
So that's what an area director is?
Correct.
Oh, good. How many pastors here? Do you have area directors in your area? Well, good. Find us somebody that we can train.
By the way, if you don't, we also have a national staff who can help you from Orlando.
And a couple regional directors. The journey consists of 12 challenges related to the major areas of a man's life, such as relationships, disciplines, work, money. We don't kill, at least not in where I grew up in Maryland, we don't kill the fatted calf anymore. We don't go out and kill the wild boar. We don't go out and fight anacondas. How do you know? I wasn't even bar mitzvah. How do you know when you're a man of God? So we're growing up a culture now of young men, of us, and I deal with 50-year-old men, younger than me, 50-year-old men who don't know they're men yet because they've never been handed that mantle. So the one thing that we start with is journey or challenge number one, what is a biblical man? What does the scripture say a man is? How does a man act? How does a man relate to the culture? How does a man relate to his children? How does a man relate to his wife? How does a man relate to God? And just some of the very, very essentials of dealing with stuff that we as men need to know to grow up in our relationship with Christ. Most do one or two challenges a year, and we suggest you start with a couple, and I'll tell you that in a minute. But it's a strategic approach to capturing all the men of your church. My church had a community event. Big blow up things. We have 100 acres in the middle of a cornfield. We're about 4,000 strong, but we have about 6,000 people that come to this community event. We have hay rides around the property. We, you know, just a big deal. And I was talking to the men's leadership team, and I said, what are we going to do for all the men who come onto the campus who aren't a part of the church? And you know what their answer was? Nothing. So we had a Success That Matters seminar coming up, and I asked each guy, well, let me do that. Ken, what are you good at?
What am I good at?
What are you good at? What do you know?
Organizing. What do you mean, hobbies? Or what do you say?
Hobbies. What do you know?
I like to coon hunt.
Coon hunt. Great. You're also a landscaper, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't go to Ohio for that, by the way.
Playing the guitar. Great. What are you good at? Nothing, huh?
Farming.
Wait a minute. What's the SEC?
Oh, that's basketball.
Are you good at basketball?
Not sometimes.
Okay, good. So here's some suggestions. Why not have, with all these tents, a tent on a 15-minute success to landscaping, to success to playing the guitar, success at basketball, and at the end of that, hand them a ticket to the Success That Matters seminar. What you're doing is you're capturing interest in what guys are interested in. You're giving them the next best step to a seminar where they'll be captured into another best step for them.
Yes.
That's a mindset. So the strategic approach is that we plan and assess, then we create value, capture that momentum, sustain the change, and then we evaluate and celebrate that again. I'm going to click ahead. Here are the 12. Why don't you walk through the 12?
So yeah, the 12, and again, as Clark was saying, this is up to the church to decide the frequency, how often they would want to incorporate one of these into their strategy. Could be one a year, could be several a year. Manhood, the gospel, relationships, you can see it all there. Basically taking an integral part of understanding what manhood is and preparing a complete challenge around that so that by the time you've gone through all of them, you've really touched all the bases. And I've been thinking this through as I've been incorporating this into my own church and thinking, well, okay, what happens when we finish challenge 12? Recycle. I mean, because what you can do with this because of the flexibility is challenge one done two different times on manhood won't necessarily look the same. You can just use different curriculum, different resources, so that there's an entirely different look to it. Can we come back at the end for that? Thank you.
Okay, and what we're suggesting is that number one and two are pivotal. You can go to any one after one and two. If you learn what a man of God is and you learn what the gospel is, and the gospel isn't denominational. Gosh, I am dealing with Methodist. I'm dealing with Evangelical Free, Seventh-day Adventist even, Christian Missionary Alliance, Baptist, a lot of denominations. It's just not denominational. What the gospel is Jesus came, He died, He set us free. Why aren't you free? And dealing with the things that still weigh us down as men. Guys, no, don't raise your hand. You still wrestling with anything as a man of God? This is a great environment for life-on-life discipleship to confront the stuff that is still weighing you down. So if we understand manhood and the gospel, what Jesus came for, all those others fit into one and two. Can we hang on to that to the end? Hang on to it, though. All-inclusive ministry to men based on and follows the No Man Left Behind principle model of create, capture, stain, creating a momentum-creating kickoff event. Capturing the momentum, it's giving them the next credible step. And usually it's a short-term study in follow-up groups and then sustain the change, a more in-depth discipleship opportunity. You know the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can make them drink if what? Give them enough salt. Let me tell you about the first heavy metal Church of Christ. It meets in Dayton, Ohio, in Jackass Flats Bar. They come on their Harleys and their leathers, long hair and piercings and tattoos. I love these guys because they're raw. When they accept Jesus, they accept Jesus. They came to a Success That Matters seminar. There were six of them. They went back to the church, and they took 33 through the next step, the Capture the Momentum Save, the life plan. It's a six-week course. At about week four, they said, we're worried about this. What? So this is good stuff. We're growing. This is applicable. I've never been to church. I've never been to Sunday school. I'm liking this. What's next? Perfect lead in to the sustain the change. They went through Man in the Mirror. They spent 24 weeks going through Man in the Mirror. And these guys were so excited when they started planting a church 30 miles away. Those guys there went through the same process. It works. It's exciting.
One of the things that stands out in my mind when Clark mentioned the Success That Matters seminar is we had this seminar at my church, and Brett Clamer from Man in the Mirror came in and taught it. The thing that really resonated with me is when he was talking about men getting into the six-week follow-up groups, he emphasized how simple it was, the short-term six-week aspect. And I just remember him saying, guys, this is the life plan. You know what guys like about this the most? You can do this. And I just remember guys connecting with that, realizing, I don't have to read a bunch of stuff. This isn't a deep, long, you know, amount of preparation to come to this. This is just a workbook, an easy-to-follow workbook. And I think that makes a big difference in appealing to guys who aren't looking at that moment for a deep, long-term commitment. So hence the six-week follow-up, and it works good.
It does. It really does. With each challenge, there are two options. You can do the straightforward plan, or there's a flexible plan. You as a pastor or a men's leader are in the driver's seat, literally. We have suggestions. We would suggest this, we would suggest the life plan, and we give you the material in the packet. We suggest this as a long-term follow-up. But if you have something else, use it. Again, it's the mindset. This is a template. You create it any way that you want to. So this is one of the... on the right-hand side is a straightforward plan. I had one church. I love this church. They literally went through this plan. It goes 16 weeks from the event. 15 weeks, 14 weeks, 13 weeks. They checked it off every week. And they sent me the minutes, the agenda to the meetings, and the minutes to the meetings. Occasionally I was there and I worked with the group. It was incredible. Had a great event. We actually invited other churches going through this process to use that as their Create Value event. And that's where the First Heavy Metal Church of Christ came in. We had 9 churches in one event. 9 different churches were going through this, but it tore down the silos between churches then. And now there was a community working together on the same thing, growing in the same way, and people were saying, hey, I know you from work. And all of a sudden, they were identifying believers in their workplace. The workplace changed. Their community is changing. I'm excited about this.
And hey, you know, on this timetable, the 16-week planning process, we were talking about No Man Left Behind earlier. One of the ways that's woven into this and made, you know, foundational in the journey is that one of the parts of the process is to take the leaders through the foundational elements of No Man Left Behind as you're doing the preparation for your launch of that event.
Deliver the content. Okay, this is challenge 1, biblical manhood, and I'm just using this as a sample. The deliver content resources for the challenge is the Create Value event is having that Success That Matters seminar. It's a 6-hour event. It can be either on a Saturday or on a Friday, Saturday. The plans are there for either one. Suggestions right down to the minutes. The Capture Momentum is a small group resource for each of the challenges. Like Jeff said, they are small.
Yeah, that's the thing that Brett would do. It's like, you can do this.
Yeah, you can, because there's no reading ahead of it. You just come. And what happens is, we often use the phrase in the seminar, if you gave me $100 at the beginning of the seminar, and at the end of the seminar I gave you $500 back, would you do it?
Yes.
If you gave me $100 today, and in 5 weeks I gave you $1,000 back, would you do it?
Yes.
And that's the investment we're asking you to make. You're investing a little bit in the seminar in this weekend, but if you invest more in the next 6 weeks, you'll get that much more back. Monday morning, you're going to go back to being the same. unless you continue to reinforce that. You know, the seminar is the seminar. You learn some good things, you feel good, but really, this reinforces whatever you learned in the seminar. So it's an incredible, incredible tool.
Yeah, and Clark, one of the things about the seminar, in case you're thinking, part of the planning process is actually the process of figuring out what is it that you should charge your guys for the seminar so that you break even. That the intent of any of the seminars we do is to break even. So that is just woven into the planning for each challenge. Is if you're using a man in the mirror seminar, here's how you can calculate what you ought to charge for tickets so that you break even on it.
And if you charge tickets, they have a little more invested again.
Exactly.
Again, the sustained change, you know, there's a church calendar we have to work with. And sometimes it doesn't work to go through all 24 weeks on top of 6 weeks. So we're saying, hey, here it is. Here's the book, Man in the Mirror, 24 chapters. You decide whether it's 6, 12, or 24 weeks. If it's 12 weeks, what I tell the guys is, hey, pick 3 or 4 that you really want your guys to go through, and then ask your guys, what are the areas that we really need help with? Some may say, hey, I really have an anger issue. Chapter 18, go. Pride issue. Yeah, I think that's 19. You don't know, so it's 19.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, so go ahead and pick the chapters that are really pertinent to you, and then go through that process.
Hey, got a question. That first create event.
Can we hang on to that and get them all at the same time?
You can, but that 6-hour event.
Yeah.
The ask to, that's like the first ask.
That's the capture momentum. That's where you've got all these men that are there, they've seen value in coming to the event. So you're capturing the momentum with a 6-week follow-up, yes.
And what that is not, it's Jeff lecturing for 6 hours. No, it's really the leader lecturing, giving information, and then table interaction.
Can I add to that just because you
yes.
said leader lecturing, and I just want to clarify that.
Sure.
One of the appeals to, as you prepare for this, in recruiting more leadership throughout your church is that it's less intimidating for a man to consider being a group facilitator than it is a group leader. So part of it is preparing that group of guys willing to lead a group to know your responsibility is not to be a theologian, is not to be the expert. It's simply to facilitate the discussion, host the follow-up. And we find afterwards that that is, in fact, what guys reveal is that, hey, it was a lot easier than I thought. I was nervous about it, but I can do this. And so that helps to build more leadership throughout the church that way.
And that is the table leader. There is a facilitator, somebody who does deliver the lecture. But it's information, table interaction, information, table interaction. The leaders stand up then, introduce themselves and say, hi, I'm Clark Miller. I'm going to be meeting my group at 6 o'clock, Bob Evans on Tuesdays. Hi, you are?
I'm Jeff.
When are you going to meet?
Wednesday at 8.
Great, where?
Panera, where? Church of Panera.
Church of Panera. And you go down, and then you have chaos as everybody gets up, goes to those tables that they think that they may be able to meet at, and all of a sudden, it's teaching, table interaction, and guess what? They've just formed a small group. So they've already gotten to know each other a little bit, and asking them to meet for 6 weeks becomes that much easier because they already know who they're going to meet with, they know where, when, mm-hmm. and it's only 6 weeks. If the group is a dud, you can bail in 6 weeks. Most of us can do something for 6 weeks. Plugging JBM into the No Man Left Behind process. Because I'm a very visual individual, I need to do this, okay? So remember the wheel, the motor driven by the purpose to make disciples. Here's how that works in the biblical manhood, the first challenge. Really. So we have a plan and assess stage, and that's leading up to the Success That Matters seminar. Now we're running the play, so we're doing it as written. That leads into the 6-week follow-up life plan, which leads into the book study, Man in the Mirror. And again, that's what you decide, whether you design it 6, 12, or 24 weeks. And then that leads into the next session. But at the end, you have to have an evaluation and celebration. We didn't talk about the evaluation up front.
And I can't remember if you have a slide in here.
I don't think so.
About disciple every man or all inclusive.
No.
Okay. So evaluate and celebrate. Let me just speak a bit about evaluate. As you begin a challenge, one of the things that we want to do is try to get a baseline on what the men in the church, where they're at. So an assessment, a pre-challenge assessment, allows us to ask guys some simple questions to say, okay, let's figure out as a church where we are right now. And we're going to do it again when we're finished. So we can compare the two. We have some data to work with if we find that valuable to share with our men. For an example, in my church, we did, in challenge number one, which was biblical manhood, we did the pre- and post-challenge assessments. We found that in a group of questions that were mostly about knowledge, men scored fairly high, although men who didn't plan to come to the seminar, because we segmented, do you plan to come, do you not plan to come? Men who didn't plan to come scored lower, but not dramatically low. But then when it got into the segment of the evaluation where or the assessment that was about application, there was a dramatic difference, both before and after, for men who either said they weren't coming to the seminar or men who later said they didn't participate. And this is how dramatic it is. For the men who participated at the end of this when we did the assessment, 76% of them scored on the upper end of a 1 to 6 scale, saying, where are you at right now with this? So 76% rated themselves above the middle, on the upper end. And that was an increase of 8% of what they had rated themselves at the beginning or before we started the challenge. So men who did not participate ranked 39% of them ranked themselves in the upper end of the scale. So that the difference here, get this, was a 15% decrease from the pre-challenge assessment. And I think what happened is men became more aware as they were not participating and seeing what was going on in our church. I think they ranked themselves more appropriately at the end. They recognized that they were probably easy on themselves in the pre-challenge assessment. So I think the overall thing, without getting too numbers driven, I know it's in morning and we don't want to think too much about statistics, but it gives you some data to be able to actually share with your church to see where were we, where are we now. And so that's the evaluation. The other piece just quickly I wanted to add is the all-inclusive aspect is that as you're going through the wheel, if you will, when you're getting over here to the Man in the Mirror study, for example, we have a great online Bible study video that matches up with the Man in the Mirror book. So one thing that can be done, and we've done this in my church, is to share those videos. So if a man is not in a group, for example, maybe he didn't come to the seminar, maybe he did but just chose not to participate in a follow-up group. Now we can, through an email, share with all the men in our church a link to the video that matches the chapter, and every man in the church has access to the same resource, or at least a resource that fits with what we're doing at that time. And so that matches the all-inclusive aspect. We're giving something to every man in the church. You know, they may not take advantage of it, but like Clark said, you can lead a horse to water.
A 72-year-old Ford dealer said, I go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I don't have time to think about God. How do you think about God during the day? And I said, have you ever heard of Go Tandem? And he said, no. So I told him what it was. He said, can you help me do that? Because he was 72 years old and, his cell phone, smartphone, he had one. But so I set it up for him so that four times a day, it would remind him about Scripture. And it would just get his mind to God again. He could ignore it or he could pause and pray. But in the same way, if you're doing that as an entire church, specifically with one of these, you're going to grow the men all together in one way.
And Clark, that's another thing that we've utilized in my church as well, is right now we're going through challenge number two. So we've really been promoting the Go Tandem app, and I'm sure you guys have seen at least something here at Fuel about Go Tandem. One of the cool things that they offer is a track, which is the Journey to Biblical Manhood. So you can pick the one you're on, and right now guys are getting every third day a message that is directly related to challenge number two, the gospel. And that's just another way of reaching more men in your church.
celebration. We don't do that well. We go through events and just go to the next one. Celebration is built in for a specific purpose, and that is to gather guys together, hear testimonies. As a leadership team, hopefully you're in touch with the leaders to hear about what's going on in their groups. There's some success stories. So saying, hey, would you ask Joe to be able to stand up, you know, and celebrate? And you have a big deal. Make it a big deal. And invite. We have Reach 3 cards out there at the resource table. We encourage our guys. We give them to them and say, hey, reach out to 3 guys who haven't been a part of this and invite them to the celebration. So what they're doing is they're hearing testimonies of what God has done, how they've grown, the camaraderie between the group. We're talking about life-on-life discipleship, the Holy Spirit, you know, and you're whetting their appetite.
And maybe a chance also to share some statistics that are relevant. If the data reveals something that's particularly, you know, eye-opening, it's a good opportunity to share that with the guys. Hey, guys, look at this, man. You said this before. Now look at what we're saying. We've had an 8% increase for guys who participated in how they view their application of Scripture in their lives.
And there's an opportunity. This is I took that slide out.
By the way, Clark, I wanted to ask you. So I'm coming to this celebration event. You told me this something about this mindset. So what am I going to do with that when I get my guys together at the celebration event? Is that just going to come and go, or what am I thinking during that?
I don't know where you're going with this.
So we got a bunch of guys together. What are we going to do to capture the momentum? What are we going to do to give a guy a step beyond that? So as we develop a mindset and say, hey, we're bringing our guys together. Yeah, we're going to celebrate, but we don't want to just leave it there. So what could we do? What could we give men at that time as a next step? And it can be driven by a lot of factors, but it could just simply be, hey, we have some ministry needs in our church. In our particular case, we had a VBS coming up within a couple of months of a particular celebration event. So what we did is we explained that and said to guys, hey, listen, this is a way that guys, we have a good response from men in our church connecting with VBS and serving during that week. But not enough. We can always use more. So we offered that as a possibility. We offered believer's baptism, which was a month after that in the calendar. It causes you to look at your church calendar and say, maybe there are some things that we can use an event to ask men to move into these areas of our church where we need guys. And so there were at least a couple of guys from one particular celebration event who chose to serve in VBS for the first time last year. And so, again, when you're bringing the men together, what's the next step?
And I've had 2 pastors do this. When they were introducing the next challenge, they literally, at the end of the celebration, the worship service, they dismissed the women and children and said, guys, come on up front. And all the guys came up to the front and they said, okay, what's going on? And they brought the sermon point to them specifically, gave them the 4th point, and said, you guys need to be here. Let's sign up right now. Pass the paper, and they signed up right on the spot. So powerful. Now, I don't know if this will work, but it should. I'm thinking it should. If it doesn't, yeah. This is one of the promo videos.
This, by the way, is something available to anybody going through the journey from our website. It's a promo video you can download, show to the men in your church to encourage them to participate.
And Scott, the audio is not working, so I'm going on. It's a real hokey video, but it challenges. It is.
Hey, big money for that video.
You have to actually turn the speaker.
Maybe. Well, he didn't tell me that.
You see how we get all nervous when Rick came in?
Yeah. A man has to be macho, right? You don't let anyone disrespect you. Maybe it's about being known as the ultimate family man. Or maybe it's all about being the most dedicated fan. Really
somebody
about playing by all the rules, or being the busiest man at church? Don't let the world tell you what it means to be a man. God has so much more for you than this. Are you up for the challenge?
So this gives you an opportunity through these videos to be able to begin to promote the event or the launch of the challenge. As you're beginning to just introduce, you know, early on through the process of following the timetable, there's a point where this will be a good time to begin to show something like this to the men in your church.
I didn't say that the journey to biblical manhood can be branded as the journey to biblical manhood, the journey, or the revolution, depending on the age and the clientele of your people. Going on, again, plan success, that would show up front, success that matters. Did I show this up to you already? I did.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
Why is there a video for each challenge?
Yes, there is a video for everyone. There it is. There's the video, or the slide that I was looking for, the celebration. Is a time of just rejoicing and praying and just celebrating what God has done. And again, if you invite three people, they'll catch, their appetite will be wet.
Did you guys catch the man code in that photo, by the way? Yeah. They weren't holding hands. They were shoulder to shoulder.
But they had their arms around each other.
That's easier than holding hands. He didn't want to hold hands with me. I want to show you something and I'm going to take this and just a couple other slides afterwards. This is one to introduce Man Alive book. It's manalive.org or .com if you look at it. This is actually the video that I saw the night before my interview with Man in the Mirror. And I had no idea that Pat Morley used to race Porsches. So it hit me in an incredible way. I like cars, so I've got to show this to you. Again, this is the second challenge, but this is the sustain the moment, momentum.
As men, we all want the same things. We want to lead powerful, satisfying lives. We want to leave a mark in this world. We want to feel alive. What's stopping us? Why are so many of us just spectators, watching life pass us by? What happened to the passion part? You don't have to settle for half alive. God has a plan to harness that raw energy within you, to transform you into the man God created you to be. You can become a man alive.
So in challenge number two, run the play, if you will, or the straightforward plan that we offer at Man Alive would be the step after you've gone through the six-week study and now we're going to go into that sustain phase. This will be a point where maybe a good idea to share this in the whole church to let guys know, hey, here's what we're transitioning into a seven-chapter book. And so
eight-chapter book.
And one of the good things, I think, about doing this in your church environment is to show these types of things to the whole church is... Now you've got wives sitting next to their husbands or with their families, and there's a little more encouragement, if you will.
Yeah, guys, did that excite you?
Yes. I want to go buy a Porsche right now.
Exactly. I won't share that one. JBM stories. Out of the JBM, and I've been a part of five or six now, we're running about 46% of the guys in each one of them recommit their lives to the Lord. There are about 2% who give their lives to the Lord for the first time. And I think we're running about 89% of the guys there in the Create Value Seminar. 89% of those roll into the next six-week life plan. And about 89% of those roll into the sustained stage.
This isn't a testimony story, but I think it's important to share because it relates back to the assessment You guys remember Coach K up on the stage this morning with the chairs. And one of the things we did to prepare for challenge number two in our church was to, through a series of months, share with all the men in our church that that five types of men. And so guys begin to relate with which chair am I in? And where is God calling me to be? The data showed us what I mentioned that it did, which is all overwhelmingly the lowest thing our guys across the board, whether they plan to participate or not, they revealed that they were not as disciplined as they'd like to be in getting into the Word on a regular basis. And so we had that data early enough where we were able to say, as a promotion, you know, shortly before registering or during the registration process, shared that data and also asked the guys to remember that, you know, where they saw themselves in those chairs, and could this be the thing or the way that they could move forward to get themselves out of the chair they're in and into that next chair. So again, just a you know, one way that you can utilize that data from the assessments.
And there are so many stories that you'll have to talk to us later about them.
Yes.
I want to just, let me just throw this up. You can read it. We are in a pre-planning meeting now. How do we capture the momentum from what you are hearing now, and how can we sustain that change when you get home? Photo done?
Yep.
Okay. The next steps, the journey to biblicalmanhood.com. You can sign up for 30-day free, and we're going to make a ton of money on you on this. If your church is small, less than 250, it's $29 a year. And you have access to all the videos, the notebooks you can download. You can buy them and save the ink that you'd print them on. It's $29 a year. Medium-sized church, 250 to 750, $59 a year. Or large churches, over 750 in attendance, is $79 a year.
And by the way, that gives your church access, not just your leader or leadership team. You can share that throughout your church with various
people.
Well, I wouldn't. I would do it with your leadership team.
Right.
Just share a username and a password that you don't mind sharing. And there it is. And there it is. This will help you create an environment where the Holy Spirit will inspire men to do life-on-life discipleship. Now, questions? Yeah?
I'm here with a team, and so I want to do a lot of brainstorming with them this afternoon and so on. But I was thinking about Easter just right around the corner and maybe doing a wide event with them. Would you think of the success seminars being something like that? Or?
I would absolutely say no. You don't have enough time.
You remember the planning process. One of the things Clark mentioned was a 16-week planning process.
Okay, yeah.
And, I mean, that's necessary because there's a lot to do to prepare adequately for it, like you're thinking. But one of the things you said early on is something that's good to share with everybody is you said you have a leadership team.
Yeah.
If you do not yet have a leadership team, the journey's not for you yet because it is absolutely imperative that you have a leadership team in place.
However, I would say that you have the mindset now. If you start small with the mindset of having an event and having a next follow-up to capture that momentum, do it. Just don't use the journey yet. Just go small.
Okay.
By Easter. By Easter.
Else to do.
Yeah.
Does your church have an Easter egg hunt?
Yeah.
Okay, do a side event for me that show up with their kids and then maybe offer them something.
Exactly. You know, throwing eggs. He said throwing eggs. You said that as a joke, but I'm serious.
No, men like to throw eggs at each other.
There you go.
Are all of the challenges finished then at this point?
1 through 4, 5 through 8. As soon as we test drive these, we'll figure out how we can massage 9 through 12. Right.
Let's go back. I think one of the fellows in the back here had a question. Am I right?
You got me at the left.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you, Bob.
Wayne had
no, back here.
Okay.
Well, I was just wondering, most churches do two challenges a year. It takes 6 years to go through all 12 challenges. But throughout that 6 years, you've still got new men coming in and entering the flow. Can they plug in at any point?
Yes.
You know, I would say yes. One church, the pastor loved this so much. I don't know if you know this. They're using this as our new member class. Oh, people coming into church, they're taking them through this. And he loves it. So, be flexible.
It's important to remember that building relationships is more important than the content. So one specific challenge and where guys might be newer in the church isn't as important as beginning to bring those guys into relationships with other men in the church. And that's what each challenge does.
This is Jamie.
By the way, we don't feel any pressure by having the one who's done all the work on JBM sitting here critiquing us.
We suggest a lot of heart-oriented resources, so the guys are going to get the gospel about it. They're going to challenge 5 or challenge 1. And then you don't have to even take them in order. Like Clark said, we recommend churches start with 1 and 2 because it sets the foundation. But they can jump to challenge 7, challenge 3. It doesn't have to be chronological. The important thing is that the church has to understand the principles of no man left behind so that you can even create your own challenge one day. Let's say you want to do an entire challenge on sexual purity. That doesn't currently exist in the 12 challenges. But you would know, okay, well, I need to create value first, and then I need to capture momentum. What about my guys that aren't coming to my small group? I need to create a way to engage them in this challenge as well, so I'm going to email out this sermon to them. And you'd be able to set up your own assessment form. But that's our desire, that you will begin thinking that way. You will have such a mindset shift to all of your men that it won't matter which challenge you guys are doing when they get in.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Jamie, but I think one of the things in any challenge is it's not that the challenges are progressing with the wide to deep continuum you saw or the 5 types of men. It's, there might be a little variance in the target, but it's going to generally be toward the wider end than it is the deeper end. There's not going to be, a challenge where it's exclusively for servant leaders, for example.
And the mindset, part of the mindset is instilling in your leaders that you will have 5 types of guys there and watching. And you can pretty well guess and evaluate where your guys are, whether they're hurting, whether they don't know Christ, whether they have a worldly or cultural view of Christ, or whether they're really growing in their faith. And encourage the guys. Some guys look at this and say, that's elementary. And I say, of course it is. You have a good grasp that you can help somebody who is not as far along on the journey of Christ as you. Help them. And then they say, oh, I'm in. So, other questions?
Yeah. Let me just add into that, but just touch on the leadership team and preparing them and stuff, and not really even get into something like this. You're just being exposed to this for, say, a year or so. Like we were talking about with the leadership team.
Yeah.
So, apt to just start doing an event and start trying to ding dang and toss eggs, but if we don't have that mindset into our leadership team.
And that's why we started with the No Man Left Behind, because you really have to understand that whole mentality, that process, that mindset, to really understand how the journey to biblical manhood is designed and how it can work in the congregation. And it is a switch, a total switch in how you look at things. It's not an event, it's not a curriculum, it's a lifestyle, it's a process.
Hey guys, we're right at 11, so you've got a question, come up and see us after. If you could, I just want to be sensitive to everybody here. We've got a break coming up. If you would, fill out those evaluations on your table. And
Brett, I'd like to ask you to pray for us, just to close us.
Hey, Brett, Father, thank you so much for all these guys, their desire to see many be challenged to follow you more closely, Father. We pray that in our churches you would use us to not just reach the normal guys that will come to our small groups and Sunday school classes, Lord, but really to reach out to every man in our church, to invite them into relationship, either whether it's through an event or through small groups or through serving somewhere in the church, Lord, that we would have a consistent message to all of our guys about what it means to follow Christ in each of our churches, Lord, that would be a compelling message that would draw men to you, and Lord, help them become the fathers, the husbands, the employees, the community members that you want them to be, so that we can build your kingdom for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. If you don't get any questions answered here, our emails are up here. As long as you identify yourself, give us some context, and then ask your question, we'll get back to you. Thanks for coming. God bless.